We want to turn our thoughts to that glorious resurrection day when Jesus was resurrected. The Bible tells us that when the Sabbath was passed, and the Sabbath, of course, is Saturday, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, that's a Sunday morning, on the first day of the week, when it was yet dark, that's before sunup, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, there were three or four Marys in the Bible. You have to distinguish them there. James was James the Less, one of the apostles of Jesus. Also had a brother by the name of Joses, J-O-S-E-S. She was the mother of James and Joses. And Salome, we know who she was. Salome was the wife of Zebedee and the mother of James and John. So Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, came unto the sepulchre. Now that's the place, the tomb where Jesus had been buried. They came to the sepulchre. So what were they doing very early in the morning? They were bringing sweet spices which they had prepared that they might anoint him. Now, this was the third day now. This was the third day. And they had the promise of Jesus that he would rise from the dead the third day, didn't they? But were they coming there to that tomb to celebrate his rising from the dead? No, they came with spices to anoint his dead body. And they said among themselves, remember now they had been there when he was buried, and they saw that great stone that had been rolled over the entrance of the tomb. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" They certainly were not strong enough to do it. If they all three put their shoulders to it, they couldn't roll that stone away. It was too heavy. So how could they get inside the tomb to the body of Jesus so that they might anoint it with these sweet spices they had prepared? Let's see what happens here. Some miraculous things begin to take place. And behold, when you run across the word behold in the Bible, it means to stop and look at something extraordinary is going to happen. And behold, what happened? There was a great earthquake. Now they just had an earthquake 3 days before. Remember, when Christ died, there was a great earthquake that came. And this is not just an aftershock. This is a new one that comes. A new earthquake, a great earthquake. What caused this one? "For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Picture that. You've seen pictures of the tomb. We have one out there in the lobby of the church. You can look at it there and you'll see the picture of the tomb. You can imagine what it looked like with this great stone rolled over the front of the door. And this one angel comes and he rolls that stone back from the door and perches himself right up there on top of it. But wait a minute. What does he look like? Says his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment, his clothing, white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, who were the keepers? Remember when he'd been buried, that some of the Pharisees went to Pilate and said, "Pilate, this man said that before he died that he was going to rise from the dead the third day." He said, now, we would like for you to assign some Roman soldiers out there as guards at that tomb to make sure that his disciples do not come at night and roll that stone away, take his body out of the grave and hide it somewhere so that on the third day they can tell everybody he is risen from the dead. So we want you to send some soldiers out there to keep guard, to make sure that nobody comes and steals his body out of that tomb. And so Pilate said, all right, I'll do that. So he assigned soldiers, Roman soldiers, to guard this tomb where the body of Jesus had been placed. And they're standing there. And they're guarding this tomb. By the way, that rock had also been sealed with Caesar's staff. His seal was on it. Of course, when the angel rolled that stone away early that morning of that third day, the seal was broken. But these keepers out there were afraid when they saw this angel there, his countenance like lightning and his raiment white as snow. They began to shake and were literally paralyzed. They became as dead. They were paralyzed with fear. They could not do anything, yet they could see, they could hear, they could understand. They witnessed what was going on at that, but they could not participate in it. They couldn't draw their swords or do anything. They were as dead men. And when the women looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away from the sepulcher, for it was very great. And it came to pass, as they were very perplexed thereabout, they didn't know what was going on, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now listen, you're going to find that there's quite a crowd of heavenly people around here. But these are two men. Now there's an angel sitting up here on this stone. We're going to find some other angels around there in a minute. And I want you to notice that they're not, all of these people around there are not angels. There are angels there. There are men there. The Holy Spirit knows the difference between a man and an angel. And if it's an angel, he tells us it's an angel. If it's a man, if he says it's a man, it's a man. Here we've got two of them. They're dressed in shining garments. And as they, the women, were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, these two men said unto them, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He had told them that. But you know, it's like that parable that Jesus gave over in Matthew about the sower that went out to sow the seeds, and some of them fell by the wayside, and the birds came and they plucked them up, and the seeds never got to grow. Did you ever hear anything and then forget it? It just, what they said just didn't register with you. That's what happened here. Jesus, can you imagine this? He's teaching them, saying this. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. All right, you've been told this. Now, when that actually takes place, you have forgotten it. So on the third day, you don't come down here to celebrate his resurrection from the dead. You come down here with sweet spices to anoint his dead body. But when they were reminded of this by these two men, then they remembered his words. And the angel said, Now he gets into the act. He's sitting up here on top of this big stone that's been rolled away. The angel said, come. There's the invitation. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And they entered into the sepulcher. It was empty. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, what did they see? They saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They didn't see Jesus. They knew that this man wasn't Jesus. And they were affrighted. That means they were scared. Wouldn't you be if you walked into a tomb and you... Yes, you would. All right. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way quickly and tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you, lo, I've told you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. They've got two emotions going here at the same time. One is fear, and the other is great joy, because they've heard now from three different sources. The two men on the outside, the angel on the stone, and the young man that was inside the tomb. Three times now they've heard the story that he is not here, he is risen. They did run to bring his disciples word. They could hardly wait till they could find Peter, James, and John and the rest of those guys and tell them what they had witnessed at that empty tomb. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. We know Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast seven devils. And Joanna was the wife of Chusa, who was Herod's steward. And one of the disciples of Jesus, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women. I imagine Susanna was there as well, and other women that were with them, which told all these things unto the 11 apostles and to all the rest. All those disciples were so glad to hear that he is risen. Listen at this next statement. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So the first time they'd been told by that young man inside the tomb, go your way quickly and tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead. So they go. The first ones to go with the message of resurrection, and look at the reception that it got, even from his disciples. And they believed him not. Mary Magdalene, she's going to take the message to Peter, because the young man in the tomb had said, and Peter. So she cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John. Peter and John were together, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. We're never told in here who they are. Who's they? Some unknown person or persons have taken the body of Jesus out of the tomb. You see, Mary Magdalene had been there. She had witnessed this. She had heard this testimony. It didn't soak in. It is very difficult for people to believe that somebody could be raised from the dead, even though our Lord Jesus Christ had demonstrated that during his ministry, especially when he called Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days. When Peter hears that the tomb is empty, what does he do? What's his reaction? Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, that's John, and came to the sepulcher. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Holy Spirit makes a point in there that John, probably younger than Peter, he outran him, and he got there first, came first to the sepulcher, and he, stooping down and looking in to this tomb, saw the linen clothes, the burial clothes in which the body of Jesus had been wrapped when he was prepared for burial. Saw his burial clothes laid by themselves, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now he's just stooping down looking in. Here comes Peter, finally catches up with him. He is running a little bit slower. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher. And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. It had not soaked in. Then the disciples departed and went away again unto their own home, Peter wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, Peter and John did not see anybody. They did not see two men. They did not see the angel on the stone. They did not see a young man inside the sepulcher there. They didn't see anyone there. So they went back home. Mary, who had told them, doesn't say that she ran with them. They ran ahead of her, but she made her way back, and she came to the sepulcher, and she stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. What did she see? And seeth two angels, not men, but two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they, here's the nebulous they, have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus. Now this is the first person who for the first time has seen the resurrected Christ. She's looking inside the tomb, and she's weeping, and these two angels are speaking to her, and she answers them, and then she turns around, and there she is face to face with Jesus Christ in his resurrected, glorified body. But she knew not that it was Jesus. She did not recognize him. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, the caretaker, the one, because the tomb was in a garden. She supposed that he was the gardener. Said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He called her by her name, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. When he called her name, she recognized him. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not. Her instinct was to fall at his feet and worship him. Touch me not. Why? This is important. Amen. Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, he's not talking about his going back to heaven from Mount Olivet 40 days later. He's not talking about that ascension. He said, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. You know, have to know something about the Old Testament rules and regulations concerning the sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
The high priest would make the offering for sin on the altar of sacrifice. He would catch the blood in a basin, container, and he would carry that blood into the tabernacle proper, into the presence of God, into the most holy place, and he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat and obtain redemption for his people, the forgiveness of their sins for an entire year. But from the time that sacrifice was made, from the time that blood was shed, and he caught it in that basin and sprinkled that blood, nobody touched him.
That's right.
He was holy, undefiled, separate from sinners. You don't defile him. Jesus was the offerer. He offered himself. He was the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. And now he is risen from the dead. He is going to take his blood, his own blood, into heaven. And he's going to sprinkle his blood on the heavenly mercy seat in the tabernacle in heaven. Remember Mount Sinai? Moses got the tabernacle pattern from God, patterned after the one that was in heaven. And Jesus is going to ascend, and he's going to heaven, and he's going to take his own blood, and he's going to sprinkle it on that heavenly mercy seat, and he's going to make atonement for all the sins of the world. He said, Don't touch me, I'm holy. Don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Now they had heard that he was not here, he is risen. And now she comes with the news, I have seen the Lord. and that he'd spoken these things unto her. She told them what he had told her. As they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they just jumped up and down with joy and shouted hallelujah. No, they didn't. The Bible says they believed not. They didn't believe the resurrection when they heard it. They didn't believe the resurrection when they heard the testimony of someone who had seen Jesus after he'd risen from the dead. The women went to tell his disciples. Now here's something else. As the women went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. All right. So he's appearing not to his disciples, but to the women. He met them. He spoke to them first. He said, all hail. And they came and what? They held him by his feet and worshiped him. Now, wait a minute. He just told Mary Magdalene, don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. Here these women come and they touch him. They hold him by the feet. Something had happened between his appearance to Mary Magdalene when she saw him and these other women when they saw him. You know what it was? He had already been to heaven, made atonement for our sins by sprinkling his blood on the mercy seat, and he'd already come back. They held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, the scene changes. As they were going, behold, some of the watch, that's the Roman soldiers who were keeping guard over the tomb. They'd finally come back to their senses from being struck dumb and helpless there as dead men. Some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. All right, I'm a priest in the temple. I'm a chief priest in the temple. I've been ministering about the things of God all my life and my generations before me. So now then, here comes the Roman soldiers with the testimony that he is not here, he is risen from the dead. Now then, they're getting the news that Jesus is now risen from the dead. Let's see their reaction to it. And when they were assembled, they went and told the elders. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they said, we better have a meeting about this, fellas. They gave large money unto the soldiers. Now that doesn't mean the big dollar bills. It means a whole lot. Okay? That means they gave a whole lot of money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples, I like this, his disciples came by night. Now we're standing there on guard, and it's dark. There are no lights around the place at all. It's just as dark as it can be. But these men came, and they were his disciples. It was dark and we couldn't identify them, but we know that they were his disciples. See, his disciples came by night and stole him away. Stole him away. His disciples came, rolled back the stone, took his body out, rolled the stone back over the door, and they took him away. Well, what were you guys doing? We were asleep. While we slept. Sleeping while they were on guard duty. But they were not so sound asleep, but what they in the darkness could identify the disciples and see what they were doing. And they didn't do anything about it. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And the elders told him, if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and secure you. We'll cover for you with the authorities. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. I wish I had time to finish this. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. 70 furlongs. A furlong is supposed to be about 606 feet. A score is 20. 70 would be 60. So that's 60 furlongs. 60 times 606 feet equals 36,360 feet. When you divide that by the number of feet there are to the mile, 5,280 feet to the mile, that's our measurement, you come to 6.88 miles, almost 7 miles that Emmaus was from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. See, word's already spread. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But he did, yes. Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. There are multitudes of people today who through the gospel of Jesus Christ come face to face with the Savior, but their eyes are holden and they do not recognize him. Sad to say. He said to them, what manner of conversation are these that you have one with another? Or communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? And they say unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said. But him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh, the greatest Bible lesson in the entire scriptures. When I get to heaven, I'm going to fuss at the Holy Spirit for not putting this into the Bible. Bless his heart. He's saving something new for us. It's going to be wonderful. I think this was the greatest Bible lesson that was ever taught, and here's what the Bible tells us about. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, Wouldn't you like to have that in writing?
Amen.
I sure would. But then I guess it would take away the joy of our searching these things out from the Old Testament for ourselves. As they drew nigh unto the village, that's Emmaus, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. They're walking down the road, and here's this inn on the side, and they turn off here. That was their destination, and he made as though he was going to continue on. But what happens? They constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. You see, Jesus doesn't go where he isn't invited, and he doesn't stay where he isn't wanted. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, I like this part. This is just getting to the good part. This is in his glorious, glorified, resurrected body. The kind that you and I are going to have in our resurrection. I look forward to that. Listen to this. He went into tarry with them. And here he sat at meat with them. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. They didn't know who he was. He was still a stranger to them. They didn't even exchange names. But when he blessed that bread and broke it, their eyes were opened. And they knew him. They recognized him. And what happened? Just as soon as they recognized him, poof! He disappeared, and that chair was empty where he'd been sitting. See, that's what I'm going to like about the resurrection. That's going to be wonderful. I mean, he's gone. They said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" See, they had heartburn while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. You know, that's what ought to happen to every one of us. And I think we have experienced that heavenly heartburn, have we not? Whenever we begin to read the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, our hearts begin to burn within us, don't they? They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. I'll bet that 7-mile trip back to Jerusalem didn't take as long as the trip they made from there to Emmaus. And they found the 11 apostles gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon Peter. And they told what things were done in the way, these two men, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And I'm going to quit. The same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, for the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus himself and stood in the midst of them. And he said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And Jesus tells us today that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I believe today that the same Jesus speaks the same word to us. Peace be unto you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this study today in the Word of God about the resurrection of Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that identifies him to us. You open our heart. You open our eyes that we can see the truth of this glorious resurrection. Bless our service this morning. Bless each heart of each person in attendance today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Is it because of your preaching?
Okay. I don't think we're going to run over.
Okay.
We'll see.